So without further ado, I know I've taken a bit of time here. I want to introduce this morning's speaker. His name is Wayne Mannone. And many of you will already... Look at that. Carl, you brought your fan club in the house today, mate. Many of you will already know Wayne, and he obviously asked you to clap for him every time his name is mentioned already. There you go. But for those of you that don't know him, a tiny bit of context, okay? Wayne and his family have been attending Hillside for just under 3 years. You lot are wild. Linda, his wife, is the church administrator here and does a whole load of different things with the Sunday teams and coordinating them, amongst others. And his daughters are Katie, who is studying at university, as well as a part-time grain technician, and Jess, who is also at high school. Wayne is originally from Albany, WA. He was born on a potato farm. What's a potato farm? Wayne works for the Elders Group as a financial manager for rural WA. He's been a Christian for 16 years, and he's passionate to see the church functioning at full capacity, knowing who we are in Christ and whose we are. For those of you that have spent any time with Wayne and his family, You'll know that the Mannone family are a wonderfully hospitable and relentlessly encouraging group of people. They're a blessing to the Hillside family. So without further ado, let's welcome to the stage this morning, Wayne Mannone.
Thank you, Craig. Now I feel like a rap star. All right. So just while I set up, just in the, I think it was the Anglican tradition or the Catholic tradition, which still goes on, which was my original heritage, just I want you to go to someone in front of you, someone on the side, and someone behind you, and just shake the hand and say, peace be with you. Well, that was good. I hope you all feel good now. Thank you, Craig, for the wonderful introduction. Thank you to the people that cheered. I'll pay you later. It's all good. Got a few visitors, so... Can those lights be dimmed or not? No. That's better. Well, these are mine. Anyway, I'll try not to look up. Although we should always look up. I just want to start in prayer if I can, if that's okay. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, it's already been prayed that this is a day that you have made. I stress the word made. You've already made this day, Lord, before the beginning of time. I pray, Lord, that we can, as has already been said, enter your gates with thanksgiving and with praise. And Lord, I just pray for a spirit of joy, spirit of peace, spirit of unity, and just a spirit of love, Lord, to fill this place today and every day, Father God. We just pray that your word comes forth, Lord, through your servant. Lord, let me not hinder it too much, but let your word come forth for Hillside Church, for this group of believers this morning, Lord. I just pray that with all my heart, because that's what we're here for, to hear from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we all going all right? Happy New Year. Happy New Decade. Craig prayed for me earlier and said about setting a compass for the next year and decade. So that's there's no pressure there. So I just want to bring a word that I believe God's dropped into my heart, as he does sometimes, just a single word, and then where to dig and sort of work around that and find out what he's trying to say. The challenge with only preaching once a year or speaking is it's very hard to trim it all down into what you'd like at 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever. So I'm going to try and do that today again. The first one I did a couple of years ago was, I think, an hour, and everyone was starting to get a bit tired. Last year was down to about 45, so I can get down to about 35, 40, we'll be doing very well. And if anyone gets bored, feel free to get up and walk out. I won't be offended. The first one I did here was about the potter's wheel, and it was just about us coming into line with God's will, being in the centre of the wheel, the clay being in the centre of the wheel. Last year was about renovation. Anyone feel like they had a renovating year where God was just renovating them and stripping stuff away and putting things in place? Put your hand up if that was you. Yeah, fair few. Okay, well, that might have been a good word. I thought it was just for me. I had some good feedback from that, and people, it's wonderful when you share a word and you get that feedback. It just means that obviously someone's hearing from God, so that's good. But the thing with renovation, though, it's quite often ongoing. If anyone's renovated a house, it seems like you never finish, don't you? And that's just that work of sanctification, so that may be ongoing, I hate to tell you. Thanks, Irene, for sharing. Where are you, Irene? Thanks for sharing that this morning. And can I say, keep drawing. You're a very good drawer. I saw that on Facebook yesterday. There we go. Look. Ta-da, a healthy body. Yeah, I thought someone might pick that up. That was the first day we came here. I was getting confused. It was late last night. So it's actually January, so we haven't lost a month. About a healthy body. Who was here last year for the renovation message? Who was here? Me or most of you? So remember the doctrine that I introduced, the new doctrine that Craig got a bit nervous of, the three frogs doctrine? Remember that? There was three frogs sitting on a log. One decided to jump in the river. How many were left on the log? Three, yeah, because whilst he decided to, he never actually jumped in the river. So as part of these messages that God's showing us, and they're all about coming into line with God's will, we've got to jump into that. We've got to co-labor with him. So just remember that all the way through. This is actually a very simple message. I may have overcomplicated it, but it's a very simple message. Quite often they tell you in speaking to tell the crowd what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you've told them. So I'll attempt to do that. I firstly want to establish that we are God's idea. The church, the body, the body of Christ, it's God's idea, not man's. I'll have a rhema word, I believe, though just a single word that dropped in. It's how God wants us to be, not necessarily do. We're human beings, not necessarily human doings. Make sense? The purpose of that word, some of the whys, it's only some of them, because you could preach a whole series of sermons on this topic. It's only just some of it. I've just narrowed it down to what I believe he wants us as a body of Christ. And then number four is the application. How do we make it our modus operandi? How we are, how we operate. But again, more about who we are, not what we do. Okay, start. Part one, I just want to start by establishing that we are a body and that we're meant to be a body. I want to do something I've never done before in a sermon is put glasses on. I'll turn 50 in about a month. Whoa! Now, I tried to do it in very big font, but if I'd done it in the font that I didn't need the glasses, I would have had 25 pages. So, do I look 10% smarter? Apparently, when you wear glasses, you look 10% smarter. But anyway, I'm just trying to lull you into a false sense of security. We all good? We all good this morning? Yep, okay. So part one, probably go, there we go, we are the body. Just want to share a couple of scriptures. I'll share a few more, but I don't want to overwhelm you by putting them all up there. But 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 27 says we are baptized by one spirit to form one body, and now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So just bear that in mind. You are the body of Christ, and each one of us are a part of it. Romans 12, 5 says, so in Christ... That's all that's on that one. I think that's okay. So in Christ, though we are many, we form one body and each member belongs to each other. Hate to tell you that, but you all belong to each other. Pretty frightening, isn't it, at times? But that's the truth. That's the word of God. We belong to each other like a physical body. Colossians 1:18a says, and he is the head of the body of the church, speaking of Christ. And this one in Ephesians, which I thought I'd put up there, but Ephesians 4:15-16, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up into all aspects, into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now that scripture there pretty much contains everything I'm going to talk about today, and you'll pick that up along the way. So I just wanted to put some scripture behind the fact that we are a body of Christ. Everyone knows that. Everyone believes that. We are the body. We are a body. We're the body of Christ. Who? You? Me? We. You, me, and we. We are the body of Christ. We're the church of Christ, if you like. It's interchangeable with body is the church, essentially. The ecclesia, the called out ones. And as Dr. Seuss said, it's here, there, and everywhere. Wherever the family of God meets, where there's two or more, not just Hillside, like we are part of the body of Christ. We are not the body of Christ. We're part of the body of Christ, the greater body of Christ. And for the sake of today, whilst we can talk about the greater body or just a couple of us in a house, we're sort of most of it's about this body of believers that come together, hopefully regularly. And we're part of something that's so much bigger than ourselves. You could interchange it again with the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And there's going to be a wedding banquet, a supper, a consummation of that in the future. And it's going to be amazing. He's coming back for a spotless bride, bear in mind. Also interchangeable, and Kerry mentioned this the other day, and Craig prayed it last week as well, our family. We're a family. We are a family. Now, I would like to say we're meant to be a family, but we are a family. We just perhaps sometimes need to act more like a family. As I go through today, please, this is not a blight on Hillside. I'm not saying we're doing anything wrong. I'm not saying we need to have mass changes. It's just a word that God wants us to put into our spirit today. It's us together in Christ, believers, who have confessed Christ as Lord and Saviour. It's what makes you a believer, to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Saviour. For a lot of people, you've made him Saviour, but this is all of us, but have we made him Lord? It's very easy to get you out of the fire, if you like, to use that pun, but have we made him Lord? Got to make him Lord and Saviour. And dare I say, we need to have a conviction of sin, because what do we need saving from? Sin. That's what we need saving from, our own sin. A little deep. So church started, just a quick bit of history to convince you that we are a body. Started at Pentecost, I believe, the church family, the body of Christ, prophesied by Isaiah, which I think we had there. One of the songs talked about that. The increase of his government, peace, there'll be no end, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So bear in mind, it's his zeal that's performing this, that is knitting us together. It's his will, it's his zeal, it's his spirit that's doing it and wanting to do it. He is building his church. Matthew 16:16, on this rock, the confession that Peter made that he is the Christ, the Messiah, that he is building his church. I don't believe it was built on Peter, it's just that confession of faith. And it's built on a solid foundation of the prophets and apostles, as found in Ephesians 2:20. So we've got a pretty good foundation. Amen? Yep. Again, we just have to employ the three frogs theology that we have to come into line. And that's really all this message is about today. Kerry said last week that as he spoke about the message about overcoming loneliness, that the church should be a place to belong, not an event. Quite often we think of it as an event. I'm going to church. Well, you are the church, but we're going to a church meeting, but we are the church. You and me, you, me, we. And your view of the body depends on your perspective. So the world would have a lot to say about the body of Christ, about the church, wouldn't it? It's this, it's that. We've seen a lot of stuff through the Catholic Church, unfortunately, and not even just the Catholic Church, Anglican, all churches where things have happened that shouldn't have happened. Terrible things. So the world's got a... in a lot of cases, got a bad view of the church. You might have, depending on your background, you might have a different view of the church. You might have been hurt in a church. You might have been hurt in a family. So when I say we're a family, you get all, because you haven't come from a good family or it's been dysfunctional. But we want to try and be a healthy body. Amen? We want to be a healthy family. And the only perspective on church that seriously matters is whose? Everyone's too scared to answer at church in case you get it wrong. God's. It's only God's perspective that matters. What time did I start? Doesn't matter. Thanks, Darcy. So blame Darcy. So if it's only his perspective that matters, we have to come into line what his purpose, vision, what his plan for the church is, the church family. Amen? It's not a snap-your-fingers process. He is establishing it, as I said. He's building it. You are being sanctified. I'm being sanctified, renovated, if you like, along the way. We are being sanctified. We're being brought into line. Remember the pottery, the potter's wheel. We're being conformed to the image of his son. That's his will for us, to be conformed to the image of his son. And if we can come into that as a church, whew, look out. Now, when I say again church, it could be a home church, it could be a small group, it doesn't have to be a mega church. In fact, it's probably easier if it's not in a lot of cases. Not knocking a mega church, but it can be harder to be hooked in and connected, can be. Unless there's a good cell group program. So where two or more are gathered, so wherever that may be. So Christ is the head, as we've already heard. So if my body needs to come in line, where does it get direction from? From the head. So we need to allow God to do the thinking. That makes sense? If he's the head, we need to allow him to do the thinking. Amen. Whew, I got one. Didn't even have to ask for it. So then, And again, I'm not saying we're not doing that at Hillside. It's just this is the word that's coming, and we can always do something in greater measure or align things better. So what is God's thinking, thoughts, will? What is he saying? What is he doing? I need to move along. So as part two, the Rhema word. Don't put it up there yet, Dars. Nah, good. And this is more about how he wants us to be, not what he wants us to do. This is, I believe, how he wants us to be. James Spurgeon asked a question. Oh, where's James? Is he not? Oh, there he is. I already seen him. Good-looking fella. And his wife, Jackie. Is it public knowledge that you're expecting? Ah, good. That was lucky. Well, it's on Facebook, so A, it must be true, and B, it's out there already. So congratulations. Round of applause. So we've got them coming in the door at Hillside, and we're also breeding them in. So that's another good way for a bit of organic growth. So that's good. And Tim and Claudia, it's just Tim's here. Tim's my newest Facebook friend. So welcome back, Tim. I think Claudia's, she's probably getting fairly close. So again, that's a wonderful thing. But anyway, sorry, James asked a question. And he said, what is a healthy body? Because people have said, what are you preaching about? And it takes me a while to get it together, but he talked about this idea of a healthy body, and he said, what does a healthy body look like? And I didn't really have an answer for him, but as I pondered that and just sought it, the actual word for that God had given me is the right word. So I've got one word for you, Jimmy. Anyone ever call you Jimmy? Nah, okay, well, I won't do it again. James, one word for you, and we can put that up now. What is God's will? Unity. There? You like that? It's already been prayed and sung about this morning and in the prayer room. It's always intrigued me in church, this whole idea of one accord, which I think Craig prayed, and about having one heart and one voice as a congregation. I love the story of the Tower of Babel, where they they were one and they were building a tower to heaven. Now we know that's not possible, but God said words to the effect of, if they come together, there's nothing that would be impossible for them. There's nothing that would be impossible for us if we come together in true unity. The story of Nehemiah, which I could have preached all day long about the story of Nehemiah. I love that story of the rebuilding of the wall around the temple. I think they did it in 40 or 50 days or something like that, 47 or 57 days. It should have taken years, but there was unity, there was families. They were positioned along the walls in families and specific gates. If you got the dung gate, you fell a bit sort of left out, but, every city's got to have a dung gate, so there you go. And in all this diversity, how can we have unity? It's always intrigued me, and it's always been something that's on my heart. The first message I ever did was about this whole idea of trying to get unified. So, a couple of classics. When you talk about unity, you'd all know this. I thought Johnny Castledine would already have shouted out Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. How good and pleasant from God's perspective. And it goes on to say at the end of that, it talks about flowing down, the oil poured over the head, running down. For there the Lord bestows or commands his blessing, even life forevermore. But Kerry said about coming expectant, if we live in unity in a good and pleasant way, the Lord has to command his blessing. It's just a law. It's like gravity. It just is. It bestows. It commands. It's like it pulls down from heaven a blessing. So come expectant. Make sense? Philippians 2:2 says that, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. If you just meditate on it, it's beautiful. I'm not saying this is easy. And I don't know fully how we're going to do it or how we do it. We're doing it to a point. I believe God wants us to go deeper, wants us to jump in the river. Second Corinthians 13:11, which I think was the other one I put up there. Now, I didn't put them all up there because it would have overwhelmed you and you would have complained to Kerry there was too much scripture on Sunday. But 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, finally, beloved friends, be cheerful. I love this. I believe this is the, what's the new one? The Passion Translation. Repair whatever is broken among you. How good's that? As your hearts are being knit together in perfect unity. So he's knitting our hearts together in perfect unity. We just got to yield to that. We've got to jump into that. We've got to co-labor with him in that. That makes sense? Live continually in peace, and God, the source of love and peace, will mingle with you. Other versions say we'll dwell with us. So if we do that again, there's that come expecting that God, the source of love and peace, will mingle with us, will interact with us, will be with us. Somebody say amen. That's got to be good. Amen. Yeah, you're a bit quiet this morning. Worries me. There you go. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:10 says that I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say. Now, that's hard too. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. I'm not saying I'm an expert at how this is going to happen, but I'm just bringing what the Lord wants. He wants us to be unified. No divisions, kingdom divided. Division is the opposite of unity. And churches and people, we can be very divisive and sometimes not even know it. Is Kay's here? Where are you, Kay? I'm not saying you're divisive, but where are you? Oh, she's out. No, I'll wait until she comes back. But things like music at a church can be something that becomes so divisive because this one likes this one likes that one doesn't like this. There's bickering, there's moaning, there's complaining. It ought not be. If you don't like the music, too bad. Do what I do if I don't like a song or don't connect with. Shut my eyes and just worship the Lord in spite of what's going on around me. You're not going to like every single song. You're not going to like every single sermon. You're not going to like every single prophet, speaker, member. It's just how it is. We got to get over ourselves. Church, sometimes. And I see these guys beat me to church, these music people. They come Sunday, they're here before most of you out of bed. They practice during the week, they give it their time. Most of them got a full-time job. This is all in addition to what they already do. It's not easy leading worship at a church. I did it twice, it was terrible, the worship too. But it's a tough gig. Very tough gig because it's front line. You're trying to usher people into a place of unity and cohesion. If you don't like Hillside song, close your eyes. I went to Hillside this year with a little bit sort of, I don't know about this Hillsong. It was wonderful. Talk about unity and a wonderful heart for the Lord. I just had to say that. But the word says about bitter roots. You heard about the bitter roots in Scripture? What do? They grow up and what? Defile many. It's a terrible word, defile. But bitter roots grow up and defile them. They've got to be cut off. It's like the kaikui story. I just say this every time. If you've got kaikui in your grass, you've got to pull out the root. It keeps growing back. And if you're divisive in a church, Scripture's very clear. So all the answers for this disunity are in Scripture. Divisive person, warn them once, warn them again, then have nothing to do with them or treat them as a tax collector. As a somber mood comes over the crowd. A healthy body must be in unity. And you look at our own bodies, they must be in unity, be healthy. I could be all fit and muscle bound up top, but if I'm not doing anything for my bottom half, my legs, well, it's not a unity because I won't be able to hold myself up. And I've got to say this because the Lord put it on my heart when I'm coming to bring a word about unity. You heard that charity begins at home. I don't know if that's probably not scripture at all, but unity begins at home. And unity begins with me. And I'm not that good at it, to be honest. So I need to work on that. But unity probably begins with me and God first. So it's unity with you and God. I'm talking today about unity in the body, but if we take a step back, it's unity between you and God first. As Kerry says, the up thing, then the down, the cross thing. Today we're talking about the cross thing. But that unity starts at home. We've got to start to cultivate that. It says about leadership and that. How can you lead the church if you can't lead your own family? Ouch. Ouch. Okay, part three, purpose of unity. So we're all good. We realize we are a church, we are a body, and that we need to be unified. Amen? Put your hands in the air, go like this. There, right, I was still awake. If anyone's asleep, just dig them in the ribs. I'll try and get through it. Purpose of unity. You can probably put the next purpose. Twofold purpose. One's for the body, I believe, and one's for the world. Okay, so firstly, the body, which would be fairly obvious, and we've covered most of them. Let me just see where I'm starting here. For the body, Ephesians. What have I put up there? Ephesians 4, 11, 13. Okay, purposes for the body. Christ himself gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. What for? For works of service. So A, there's equipping to be done, and B, there's works of service. okay? Not just to be off on their own with these wonderful ministries, which are all good, but they're to equip the saints for works of service. God's apportioned this. So that the body, and again, more, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full measure of the fullness of Christ. The whole measure. I don't know about you, I want the whole measure. Amen? We want the whole measure at Hillside. So the church of Christ may be built up. So if you're any one of those things, and that's only, I know this gets laboured on as the fivefold ministry, but if we look at Corinthians, same thing. It starts off in 1 Corinthians 12:7 by saying, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? For the common good. So any gift we've got, whether it's singing, shouting, screaming, writing a letter, doing whatever, drawing, it's for the common good. Okay? So it's got to be used in such a manner. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it, as we've already said. Now look, that's a couple of them. The purposes of unity for God in the church and what it's meant to be. But just quickly in 1 Peter, he talks about us being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices. We've got to declare the praises of him who called you out to the darkness and into his wonderful light. We're a chosen people. So he's trying to grow us together. He's trying to raise us as a holy temple. It talks about living stones in Scripture. We're to be living stones. Stones don't object. Bricks don't object. They just stay where they get put. So we've just got to be like that. Now, for the world, so that's for the church. Well, I think we know that well enough, but I just wanted to use Scripture to reiterate all of that. And it's already been mentioned this morning. It's one of the things that's been on my heart since I've been at Hillside is the gold in the body. There's so much gold in this body. Craig mentioned it this morning. You might have read my notes. There's so much gold in this body. Scripture says that we have been given every spiritual blessing. Amen? But one I hadn't seen, 1 Corinthians said we've been given every spiritual gift. The body of Christ. We've got every spiritual gift. We've got everything we need. There's no excuse. I know it's good to pray for God to do this and do that. He's probably done enough. It's up to us. We've got to jump in. Co-labor. Amen? He's made a way. He's poured his grace out. The best definition of grace I can give you is the empowerment of God. That's the empowerment to live the life, to do all this, to love each other. Because some of us aren't as lovable as others. That's just a fact of life. It's only by his grace. It's a work of the Spirit. Amen? Okay, gold in the body. Next slide. No, you've done it. Good. This is for the world. This is purposes of the church for the world, which is pretty obvious. John 17. This is a wonderful bit of scripture. This is where Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for you. Those who would believe in the apostles' message who are far off. That's us. That's you. That's me. All right? Jesus prayed for you while you're still a sinner, died for you while you're still a sinner. I pray also for those who believe in you through their message, that all of them may be one. He's calling us to unity. This is Jesus. I'm sure he's in the garden. He's about to go to the cross, not just to die for your sins, but to become your sins on the cross. Lots of people got crucified. He became your sin. Just as you and me and I'm new, may they also be in us, so what? So the world may know you have sent me. That they may be one as we as one. Then the world will know. Again, he says, then the world will know that you sent me. John 13:34-5 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is how the world will know. So, what's going on here? Something different at Hillside Church, or something different these Christians, or this home group, or this cell group, or this two that meet at McDonald's. John 4:12 says that no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, his love is made complete in us. There's a lot of doctrine around that where you'll see about making the invisible visible. As Christ was the visible image of the invisible God, Colossians, if we come together in unity, we're making God visible to this world. Amen? Does anyone get that? That's a key today. If nothing else, that's a key. As we come together in unity, as we come together in love and fellowship, and we unite, put our crap aside, if I can say crap in church, rubbish, dung, whatever you want to call it, if we can put it aside, it's an amazing effect on the world. And then that scripture in Matthew where he talks about us being a light on the hill, a city on the hill, gives light to everyone in the house, but it also lets people glorify the God of heaven by what we do. And if we be united, we will just do things that will glorify God. That will just be a natural outflow. Amen? And just quickly, a lovely bit of scripture just to tie both of that together. And this is one of my favourites, is Acts 2:42-7, where Peter has just got up and just preached the sermon of a lifetime. I think 3,000 were added to the number that day. And it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, which means meeting in their homes. That's what they did. That's what the church did, what we should do more of. Breaking of bread, fellowship of believers, and prayer. It was just wonderful. And the church grew. So much so that... And it goes into about, you know, their possessions were not their own. Now, that's next level. That's maybe for next year we'll get to that point. There's a few caravans I'd like to borrow and cars and things. And if you've got any cash, come and see me. So that's next level. But that's what they did, because it was organic, grassroots, church-based, home-based. I'm not saying we split into home church. That's not what I'm saying. But it was just the rawness of it, of the gospel. And the end of that scripture, which I just love, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. How easy is that for outreach? Now, we can set up outreach programs. We can do all sorts of weird and wonderful things. We can go out in the street. I've done that twice this year with different conferences where people have come from the US and we've gone out in the street. It's great. It's a good experience. But I leave feeling a little hollow, because it's almost like it's just a tick the box thing. Oh, look, I went and did this. It's just got to be. It's just got to be how we are. We just got to come together in unity, and He will add to our number daily if we do what He's calling us to do, be united. Does that make sense to anyone? Yep. And again, that Psalm 130, it commands a blessing. So we come together, it commands a blessing. He'll mingle with us. So we need to create a place to come, still waters, green pastures. I pray that often. You're probably sick of it in the prayer room. A place where He can restore our soul, and those in the world can come and find refuge. All who are weary, come to me. Come where? If I'm not a Christian, where do I come? Where? Not necessarily Hillside, but come into a fellowship. Come into where people are know the King of Kings. Come to me. Rest, refuge, strong tower, hiding place, a spiritual hospital where we come. We get equipped, we get fixed, and we go out. Irene, your story, that's a classic. Exactly, you've come in, and in spite of Hillside, this is where it happened. It could be any other church that happened. Lots of churches. Come in, found your health, and look at you up here leading worship and drawing wonderful drawings. It's amazing. So that's just a... It's wonderful what God does for us. And it's not just for us, it's for the world. It's for His purposes. It's not just church, isn't just for us. All this isn't just for us, it's for the world. So they will know and they will come to a saving grace. Amen? Okay, so we're getting there. Linda said you need some application. Don't forget to have application. Now, I'm probably going to have to cut the application short, but... We won't put it up just yet. But when James asked me that question, I said to him, well, what's the mortar? What holds a healthy church together? What's the mortar? You know what mortar is? It's cement that puts bricks together, or glue, you could say. And again, you may say this is a work of the Spirit, and it is a work of the Spirit, but we've got to co-labor in this. So we've got to work with Him. Amen? Because He says, be holy. Well, I know the song said, make us holy. Well, He's trying. We've got to be holy. So we've got to be holy. We've got to do it. He can't be holy for us, although He has, in a sense. We've got to come into line. Does that make sense to everyone? Yep. You're a bit quiet today. Okay, so what's the mortar? Well, I can only really find one thing, and here it is. Da-na-da-na. Love. Woo! Love. So I'm going to just quickly rip through a few love, because you already know this, but we've got to co-labor in this, okay? Ephesians 4:1-3. As prisoners of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. We've received a worthy calling. Let us live a life worthy of it. I'm preaching to me. All this is for me. I'm just sharing it with you. And I'm going, ouch, all the way through. Ouch, ouch. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, which is love. Love. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrongs. That's unity. All wrongs. Love covers it, brings unity. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. First Peter 4:8 says, above all. So he's speaking to the church, above all, love each other deeply. Why? As I've said, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Romans 12:18 says this, I love this as well. 12:18, if possible, as much as depends on you, live at peace with each other. As much as it depends on you. You can't do it all because you can only be right if other people aren't. You can't do anything about that. You just got to love them, set them free, forgive them. And forgiveness is such a key in all of this. Amen? Because forgiveness, that just cuts it off. Any sin, it cuts it off. We've heard the analogy that holding unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. They ain't going to die. They will eventually. Got to cut it off, no matter how hard it is. We've had some horrendous testimonies, even people in this church, of things that have happened to them at the hands of family members and stuff that I can't even imagine. But yet forgiveness has come and they're set free. They're a different person. Forgiveness is key. And a healthy church, yes, all this stuff I've said, but let me just stress forgiveness, please. Because that just eradicates all of this sort of stuff. All the discord, all the disunity, love, forgiveness, it's all hand in glove. And what love is and what it isn't, I haven't got time to go into. But for your homework for next year, 1 Corinthians 13. Quite often you hear this at weddings and probably funerals. You can talk in the tongues of men. You can be an eloquent speaker. You can be prophetic. You can be this, that, and the other. You can do all sorts of weird and wonderful things. But if you have no love, you're a clashing cymbal, making a whole heap of noise. It just grates. Love's patient. It's kind. It's all those things. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. Does not dishonor. The antidote is there. It's all there, 1 Corinthians 13. And we could spend a series of Sundays going through just that. So again, how? We've just got to co-labor with the Spirit in this. We've got to get over ourselves, eh? Yep. So it's not all bad news. In fact, it's actually good news because it's pretty simple. And for me to get up here, it's got to be fairly simple. There's lots already happening and started. God just wants to build momentum, I believe. And I'm sure the leadership, as we go into 2020, with fresh vision and fresh eyes and things to pursue and things to go forward in, that we can't help but go, we can't go wrong with love, with unity, with being a healthy body. Amen? You know, we're seeing ones coming in the door through the baptisms last week. There's a few of you guys here, Darren up the back and all the rest of you. It's just wonderful. And God, even the last lot we did, God's just sending people in. They're just coming off the street, Lance, aren't they? We just marvel about this in the morning in the prayer group, that God's just doing stuff. Because I think there's this unity that's starting to build. Craig spoke last Sunday's message, the giving message, but he spoke about generosity that they're trying to implement, and in particular he is trying to implement. But he also mentioned HCCO, and I just want to use that as an example of what I'm talking about. I can't say I'm all over HCCO. I've only been in a handful of times, but I see them. I see them Sunday and I see them during the week. I drive past. There's a unity. Who works in HCCO? Who helps in HCCO? There's probably more here. Would you agree there's a unity, there's a specialness? And I see that as a mini church. It's like this little mini church that meets Tuesdays and Thursdays, outreach to the world, look at the fruit that's coming from it, from that unity. Now, you might have your little squabbles and think, oh, I don't know if you do or you don't. I'd love to think you're all in perfect harmony and love each other and have a group hug and sing Kumbaya. But I'm sure there's personality differences in that. But you've got a common vision, a common purpose, and it's working. Craig said, what did you say, 10,000 odd meals or tens of thousands of meals? And one of the kickers he said was that people are wanting to know more. And we've seen them come in. Well, I remember praying for, is Julian Priest here today? No. I had the pleasure of praying for some people not long back, and she'd told them to come or invited them, and she came up and joined the prayer, and it was just a powerful prayer, and God was just doing a work in him, but there was this joy because they'd been invited, they'd come, there was fruition to it. But he made a point saying that there were some people that said, we may not agree with all you believe in, but we like what we see. Now, Scripture says if they're not against us, they're for us. Okay? So we got people of the world coming in, seeing how we are, how we are being. And they're being affected. And people are coming to Christ. And I believe some of them getting baptised are through HCCO. Guys like Darren, who just walked off the street, I think. And look at you. Look at you go, man. It's awesome. Woo! And I think of young Ethan. You know, I spoke to him yesterday to see if he's going to be here today. But, you know, he just came in off the street. He was greeted, passed along, just bang, bang, bang. By the time he got here, he'd met, you know, youth leader, the young adults, It was just wonderful. And he's working Sunday, so he can't be here much, but just going ahead in the Lord. It's wonderful. So this fruit of us just being unified. So it's not all bad news. A lot of good news, a lot of good stuff happening. Response to the people and the kids in northern Thailand. You know, I think you said over 100 kids. That's just in Thailand. I mean, we've got kids all over the world. The youth, which is affecting Forestfield. I saw that at the Summerfest. I've seen kids come in and parents come in, and there's an effect by us just being loving, being united, being kind, being Christ-like. We're his hands and feet because we're his body. We talk about that a lot, be the hands and feet of God. That's what it means, we're his body. And one of the greatest things, a very good example was the young adults worship night for those that came. Who came to that? Well, we had the church in a circle. We weren't going around and around in circles, but the chairs were set up circular. Bam was in there, and talk about gold in the body. It was just such a unity, such a rich spirit. 150-odd people here, adults. Such a rich expression of unity because we're in a circle. And it expressed and it exposed gold in the body. Whoever knew Darcy Wynne could sing like an angel? Hey? I didn't know he could sing. Probably his parents. Oh, his mother did. She could hear him in the shower. It wasn't the cat next door. No. But, you know, things like that. To me, all these others, my own daughter, it was just wonderful. And that was just a visible expression of unity in the church. Amen? Awesome thing. So going forward, three frogs, jump in. Let's get into it. Let's deny ourselves. Let's be vulnerable. Let's open ourselves up. Open our homes. Let's have meals. Let's spend time. Oh, there we go. I'm glad you're keeping up, Darcy. It's good. Let's spend time together. Let's do life together. And again, you might look at me and say, well, he's not really doing that. And in some cases, I'm not. So I apologize. And I want to confess that and repent of it. I want to do more. I want to do more of that in my own family. We've got to do that in our own family probably first. Amen. And just a quick one for men, which I didn't get in my notes, but it's on my heart, is that any men here feel your prayers aren't being answered or they're being hindered? No one wants to put their hand up. Oh, thank you, Daniel. It's in Peter somewhere. But it says, you know, about living with your wife and being tolerant and all those sorts of things, lest nothing hinder your prayers. That's for me. Ouch. And it might be for you, Daniel. How we treat our wives and families can affect our prayers. I wonder why God's not answering. God's saying, well, that's for me, but I'm sure it's for some of you guys. How are you treating your wives? My wife's sitting there going, yes, God's getting through to him. God's answering my prayer. But same again, I've got to jump in, I've got to do it, because it can all be talk, it can all be surface unity, be like that whitewashed tomb where it's good on the outside, but just on the inside. Kay, do you want to come and twinkle the ivories? Is that okay? Is that appropriate? I don't quite know how this is going to finish, but that's okay. Serve one another, and I want to call out gifts. I want us to call out gifts. It's not that it's my call, but let's call out gifts in each other. If we see something in each other, let's call it out. I know we have, but Scripture tells we've got every spiritual gift, every spiritual blessing here. We've got prophetic people who I believe are the eyes of the church to see the bumps in the road coming up, the discerners. We've got apostolic people that can set things up, put things in place. We've got a wonderful eldership who get overlooked in those gospels and those things. Eldership is key to mine. Call out the gifts. You see something good in someone, call it out instead of calling out what's bad. And a lot comes out of intimacy. We know that children basically come out of intimacy, don't they, with parents. That's the result of true godly intimacy. A man and a woman. A child is born. Same as with the head. We must get connected with him and with each other. And just a word from that I believe is right, that to the degree we unite will determine our height. That's, I believe, a word for Hillside. It's a catchy little thing, but that's just something that got on the whiteboard. So to the degree we unite will be the determine our height, how far we'll go. And as Kay just prays quietly, I have finished, but I just want to finish with a prayer from Ephesians, essentially. It's not the ones you're thinking of. I think that was all I had when it does. It was the other one was... Yeah. Put the frogs up, they're good. I like frogs. So just before I pray this prayer, if I could just ask us to close our eyes. This is not official altar call or anything. I'm not trying to woo you into anything. Just if we could close our eyes. We are the family of God. Okay? We are a body. Just summing up, we are the body, we are a family, we are the church of God, number one. Number two is calling us to unity, a greater unity. There's wonderful unity here, I see it, I'm part of it, but a greater unity. We can't rest on our laurels. Always got to be stretching forth to what's ahead. Number three, love is the mortar, love is the glue, love is what holds it together, perfect love. It's a work of the Spirit, it's a co-labor with the Spirit. And we need to come into line. Like that frog, we need to not just say it and be a whitewashed tomb. We need to actually jump into it. And that's going to look different for all of us. And I haven't said I've got all the answers here this morning by any means. So if any of you aren't in the family of God or haven't made that confession, haven't said, yes, Jesus is my Lord and I want to make him my Savior and I want to make him Lord of my life. Yes, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. That's the whole purpose. He came. That whoever would believe in him would not perish but would have eternal life. If that's you this morning and you want to join the family of God, if you want to repent of your sin, if you want to receive Christ as your Savior and make him the Lord of your life, I would invite you to do that this morning. If your heart's jumping out of its chest, that may well be you. And I don't want to make a spectacle of it. If that is you, please come down at some stage and talk to Craig and myself or any of the leadership here. I just want to pray this prayer as our eyes are closed. And if you want to come down as I'm praying, that's fine. That's not a problem. There's people here to pray with you. So as a prayer, Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. As prisoners of the Lord, that's us. We're bound to him in a good way. He was in prison when he's writing this, but we're bound to him. Lord, help us to live a life worthy of the calling we have received, each one of us. Help us, Lord, be completely humble and gentle. Help us be patient. Help us bear with one another in love. And we know, Lord, it's a work of your Spirit. So I pray, Holy Spirit, come and work in us. Let us yield to that. Lord, help us and to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And Lord, as we speak this truth, as you spoke it out through your servant, Paul, that we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of you who is the head.
that is you, Christ. From you, the whole body, us, we're joined together, we're held together by every supporting ligament as we grow and build ourselves up in love as each part of your body does its work, Lord. So I just pray over this word, Lord, that we would be unified, more unified. We would see that we are part of the body, that if one part suffers, we all suffer. One part's had a loss, we've all had a loss. One part's had a win, we've all had a win. And this call to unity, Lord, would just manifest in this place this year and this decade. That this would be the decade of love and unity at Hillside in Forest Field. The 20s, the roaring 20s for Forest Field. And that love would hold all this together, Lord, as we co-labor with the work of your Spirit in your church, in your body, as you prepare your bride. Let us allow you to do the thinking, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. And again, I just ask if anyone wants to know more about the family of God or being part of that, please just come forward as we, I don't know, should we sing a song? What was that one? Presence, is that? Can we do that? Oh, there you go. Can you do that in your own? All right. So we just might stand on it. Don't know, Darcy, if you can put some words up. But thank you. Appreciate you listening, and I hope that's made some sense to you. Probably went a bit over time, but sorry. Yeah, cheers. Thank you.